I'm looking at the subject, and then there were nine. You'll find it in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11. Jesus, making a journey as He's passing through. You know the encounter, you've probably read it a lot. Someone said, I don't go for all that emotionalism. Brother Lord, I'll be on your cloud. I know it's not in how loud that we are, but we sure ought to thank Him for what He's done. Somebody said, why do you always rejoice like that? And why do you think it's so much about feelings? Well, we're not saved by feeling, we're saved by faith. But I'm telling you, you can feel the Lord. The Scripture's to verify it as well. You say, is that really in the book? Yes, it is. You come here all the time, and I'll mention it several times to you. I'm just not going to tonight. Luke 17:11, it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem, referring to Jesus, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. See, we could stop right there and just think about the thought. Samaria and the Jews, the Samaritans and Jews, had no dealings with each other. We know that from the experience of the woman at the well. They worshiped different. They worshiped in different places. They had had a division over their interpretation of the Word of God. But Jesus didn't care that they were Samaritan. Do you know Jesus will go where others won't go? He can go anywhere and it not defile Him. So He gets into Samaria, and as He enters into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, I've got that phrase, stood afar off, underlined in my Bible. I know that in the Scripture, I got intrigued with the fact that how far away did they have to be? We know Leviticus gives the law concerning leprosy and the way that they handled leprosy. And leprosy was something that was feared in that day. These 10 men, if you could write a book on their life at this stage of their life, it would probably be entitled Hopeless, because they were in a situation that was a certain death for them. Lepers, in fact, were often known to stand by the wayside at a certain space off the highway, dig their own grave, and call out and beg from the grave that they had dug, because people were so afraid to get near a leper after that they had died, that they would fall into their grave and they would cover them up, and that would be the end of it. So we have 10 men that it is a literal picture of them crying out from the grave. Death is imminent. Death is coming. Nobody can help them. We realize that there was only one way that they could be cured or healed of this terrible disease. According to Leviticus, it took a miracle from God. And when the miracle came, it took the priest to integrate them back into society and say that they are free from that terrible disease, because it was contagious. They realized how contagious it was. And I got intrigued with that, how afar off they had to be. Now, we realize that the Jews, from the law that we have in our Bible from Leviticus, they continued to add to that law. They, through sages and through time, they continued to emphasize things that when you read it, you just read what it says and take it at face value, and we ought to do that. But by the time Christ came, they probably had to stay the distance of some 150 feet, 50 yards away from anybody else, because they believed that it could be carried through the wind as well. So they had to stay nearly 50 yards away, 150 feet away. In other words, that's the length of this sanctuary almost, back to the back wall back here. They had to stand back some 150 feet and watch life go by. They were always living 50 yards from life. They couldn't participate in it. They could look at it, but they couldn't do anything about it. They just had to stand back and watch it pass them by, because they had a disease that nobody could do anything to help them with. They had a disease that nobody could cure. So here they are, standing afar off, and they begin to cry out in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices. Personally, I believe that's recorded because of the fact leprosy dried the throat out, and they were very weak in voice. And for a leper to cry out, it took great force and great effort. So they thought, standing Jesus 150 feet away, 50 yards or better away, standing afar off, they could see Him. And they knew that if they could lift their voice together, maybe, just maybe, what He did back in Luke 5 for another leper could happen to them. So they cry out together and lift their voice together, hoping that Jesus will do something about this terrible disease that they have. So they lift their voice and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." He didn't come to them. He didn't touch them. He didn't anoint them. It doesn't even say that he took one step in their direction. He saw them. That's all that it says. He saw them. Did he move toward them? We don't know. Did he come any closer? We don't know. But he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He said, in other words, I am declaring your healing, and by faith, you realize to go to the priest means that you're taking a step. You have now taken a leap forward to go to the healing process, because it takes the priest to be able to get you back into society with your family, to a place to worship and in right relationship with others. So go to the priest just like you're already healed. Now Jesus sometime will see us, but he doesn't have to come physically to where we're at. A lot of people is going to die lost and go to hell because they're waiting on Jesus to appear in a bright light or show himself in some other way than by his word. But you just listen to what he has to say and do what he says to do and believe him for who he is. And if you take him at his word, that's all that's necessary. And look what they did. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of them received the same healing because all 10 of them took him at his word. Have you ever really thought what could happen if we just take him at his word? If we would really believe what he says in his word and take him at his word, can we even begin to understand what would happen? And as they're going their way, all 10 are cleansed. But then something happens. And one of them, in verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with what? With what? Underline those two words, loud voice. Glorified God. Fell down on his feet, on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger?" And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." One came, turned back, gave him thanks. And then there were 9. Where are they at? What are they doing? Some said, well, they were just obeying God at his word. They were going to the priest. That's why they didn't turn back. But yet we know the Lord honored this man for turning back and coming back to him. You know, really, this whole message is based on one thing, and that is thankfulness. Remember I said God put everything in order tonight? She stood up, first thing she said, "I asked for prayer and I have to thank God for answered prayer." And then there were 9. We have so many things to thank God for. This man turns around and he says, "I've got to go back and thank the one that made this possible." He knew who did it all. The other 9, I don't know why they didn't turn back. I don't know why they didn't go back. There's probably 100 reasons that we could give, and I realize it's speculation. Some, I think, they took it literal. They said, he said, "Go to the priest and we'll follow through. If we got this, if we turn around, then we may be disobeying his word." But get this right. You're never disobeying God's word when you thank him. Some might have said, well, they might have been egotistical. They might have said to themselves, well, it's about time. I deserved healing. I've been standing there all that time waiting. Did he know how long I was waiting there just to get a glimpse of him? It's about time I got this healing. Does he know how many prayers that I prayed? Does he know how good that I am? I'm telling you, we've got an egotistical generation today that thinks God owes them everything. One might have been a pessimist. He might have said, oh, if I turn around, I'll lose it. I don't want to lose what I've got. He's given me this healing. And maybe, who knows, if I turn around and I go back, maybe that's where the sickness is at. It's at the place. So if I go back, I may lose what He's already given to me. Some maybe just conformed. When the majority went one way, everybody else went that way. Hey, look at me. I'm not the kind of preacher, I'm not the kind of pastor that does this to see which way the wind's blowing, to see which way to take a church. I'm not being hard-headed about it. I really don't care what the church down the road, up the street, over the highway, in the big city is doing. My biggest job's taking care of me and our people right here. I'm not closed-minded. I'm not bashing anybody else. But I'm here to tell you, you're not in a church that I'm not going to take a survey to find out what you like or what you don't like. I don't mean to rub you the wrong way, but the truth of the matter is we now have pacified sin so long in the church that we've taken so many surveys to try to condone everything that's wrong that now we've lost power with God and worship in our church because our heart is not right with God. We don't even sense the urgency to come back and say, thank you, Lord. All I can say is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but if I preach on sin and you get offended, Sam Jones said, if I rub the fur the wrong way, bless God, turn the cat around. And the truth of the matter is, do right and you'll be blessed and God will bless us together. But I'd rather have the power of God on me, and I'd rather be in a church that says, Lord, I've got so much to thank you for that I just can't help it. I've got to come back week after week and service after service, and I've got to thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And when he came back, he cries with a loud voice. Now, before he had leprosy, his voice was weak. Now he's healed. He's got a loud voice. Would you like to learn a little Greek tonight? The word loud in Greek is megas. The word voice is phoné. The words together is megas phoné. Megaphone. That's where we get the word megaphone from. Lord Jesus! Look right here. You can't be too loud when you thank God for what He has done. You can't thank Him enough. You can't praise Him loud enough. You can't worship Him long enough. There's never enough thanks. He is worthy of all of it. And when a million years pass, with a loud voice, we'll praise the Lamb on the throne, and it'll just start, and we'll praise Him more and more and more. It's okay to praise God with a loud voice. And he fell down at His feet. He said, Lord, I wasn't worthy of this. Now, maybe you feel differently about it, but I don't feel worthy of what God's done for me. I sure praise Him for it, but I'm not worthy of it. Really, none of us is worthy of a wonderful place called heaven. None of us is worthy of the right you think about. For God to save us, allow us to be able to come and worship Him for some of the things that some of us used to do and who we were and what we've did and the various things we've said, and for us to be able to come in now as a child of God and say, we have, Lord, this divine privilege to be able to fall at Your feet in Your presence and thank You for what You've done. I've got my own opinion why He fell at His feet. I think his voice was so loud that he got weak knees. There have been a few times I've been in the spirit that I got weak knees. People don't like this kind of preaching, I know, especially dead people. The dead praise not the Lord. That's what the Psalms say. But let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And he's thanking God for what he's done. But you know what he did? Do you know why that we don't see more genuine gratefulness and thankfulness for what God has done? I think it's the main reason why these nine didn't come back. Number one, plain and simple, it's all based on one thing, time. It took time. We'll do anything but take time today. Don't ask me to take time, preacher. We don't want to take time to pray. We don't want to take time to read God's Word. We don't want to take time to praise Him. We don't want to take time to pray with people. But some things take time. Thank all three of you for the amen. When you get in a predicament and in a situation that the devil tells you, see there, you've served God for nothing. You've served God, now look at yourself. When you get in a Job situation in your life where the enemy tries to tell you and even speaks it through others to you, you've served God for naught. You've done all of that and now look at where you're at. People that haven't served God, well, they're better off than what you are. Let me tell you what you need to take time to do. Two things and I'm done. Take time to think. Not meditation like the world knows, but reflection on who God is and what God has done and His majesty and His power. And say, Lord, even though right now I am at a place that I can't figure out what's going on, there are times sometimes that we get in such a whirlwind that we just can't hardly think. We just need time to think. Today alone, I've already been confronted. Three funerals. I had to tell one, wait until in the morning. I need time to think, to figure out my schedule, where I'm at, and what I'm doing. And sometimes it's coming in and you're hit with all of these things. But then when we stop and think, God said He's in control of my life. And God says He'll take care of everything. And when sickness comes and the devil says, surely you've sinned and you've done something terrible, take time to think. Why would God be in the business of punishing His children in such a way if you're serving God and doing what's right? Take time to think. God's got a plan bigger than what we can see sometimes. And He's doing things in the darkness that we don't understand. And just because we can't see it or understand it all right now doesn't mean that He doesn't have a purpose for it. Take time to think. God is in control of this thing. Corrie Ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place. If you've never read the book, I would strongly encourage you to read the book. I know it's an old book. A lot of books that I mention are out of print. But bless God, most of them are cheap, and you can get them cheap. But they're good books. And you know, Corrie Ten Boom wound up in a prison camp, her and her sister Betsy. And that book, The Hiding Place, deals with a lot of things they went through. They had a Bible, one Bible, in that overcrowded barracks that they were in. It was so overcrowded. It was absolutely infested with fleas. They had hundreds of flea bites all over them. They couldn't sleep at night for the fleas. The fleas were driving them insane. They couldn't get rid of the fleas. It was horrible. It was torturing. They had this little Bible that they had smuggled in and they would pass it around. And one day, Corrie Ten Boom was there with her sister, Betsy. Betsy read out of Thessalonians, in all things giving God thanks. In everything give God thanks. And Betsy looked at her sister and looked at the others around and said, ladies, Here they had all these flea bites all over. She said, I think we ought to praise God for the fleas. They said, Betsy, you have lost your mind. She said, but God said it in His Word in everything. Give thanks. Let's have a prayer of thanks for the fleas. Day after day, Corey said, it's the hardest thing she ever had to do was thank God for the fleas. Years passed. Corey Ten Boom later recorded, they did not know until years later why oftentimes the guards would go in and abuse the other women in the camp and other barracks. Word had spread that that particular set of barracks was full of fleas, and the guards didn't want to go in because the fleas were there. And God was using those little fleas to protect those girls from even greater harm. Oh, bless His name. Sometimes things come our way and we can't think our way through it. But God said, I've got a bigger picture. There's something greater that I'm doing. Just think about it. Think about it. During World War II, in a great conflict, one of our soldiers was stranded behind enemy lines. Being stranded behind enemy lines, he knew that he was surrounded by the enemy. There he was in the jungles trying to find a hiding place. He finally found one cave. He dove in that cave. He said, I no more dove in that cave till he said, I became intrigued with a spider, and then another spider, and another spider. They started spinning their webs. When the Japanese came through trying to hunt him down, trying to find him, they looked. And he could understand enough Japanese of what they were saying. They said, no need to look there. Look, there's spider webs over the opening. If he'd gone in there, there would have been no webs. Take time to think. Sometimes we feel caught behind the enemy line, but God always has a way of sheltering us. God's doing something bigger and greater. We may not see it right now or understand it right now. Take time to think. Eddie Hicks preached a classic message in this church, one that I'll never forget. I think myself happy. Take time to think. The pure things, think on them. The honest things, think on them. Take time to think. And second of all, take time to think. It takes time to thank people. You need to every now and then write a card. You need to make a call. You need to call somebody aside and say, thank you. But by the way, every day of our life we ought to get alone with God. We've all got needs. Sometimes, and I'm not being sarcastic here, you've got to remember I travel a lot of places and preach in a lot of churches, and I hear all of these needs and all of these needs. And sis, you'll never know how refreshing it was to me tonight to hear someone stand up and say, I asked God and I got to thank Him for answered prayer. In Sunday school this morning, bang, 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 three back to back, I got to thank the Lord. I got to thank the Lord. Each one had something different to thank the Lord for. If we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time asking Him. When God answers, we don't take the time to thank Him for what He's done. We get busy with life and we go on and we forget. God, You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to do that. But I sure thank You that You did. How many times has He healed us and we've now forgotten about it? How many times have we forgotten about the day that He saved us? And we go through the whole day and maybe don't even give it a thought of how He transformed our life and changed us forever. I think we ought to turn back and thank Him every now and then. Will you be the one? Or will you be one of the nine? I couldn't help but watch Josh tonight. Josh, I don't mean to embarrass you, but every time he don't get blessed every service like that, but every time he gets blessed and I watch him take off, I'm reminded of the first time that he came to this church with Carrie. And after service, Carrie said, "What do you think?" He said, "I'm scared to death. There was people running around all over the place. I haven't seen people carry on like that." And now he's one. Now, you may never have to run like that. But I want you to listen to me. Be careful what you say. Especially when it comes to the way people thank God. We all thank Him in different ways. It's not that one way is more important than another way. It is the fact that we take time to thank God. Lord Jesus, I thank You. Oh God, I thank You. Don't you just have that grateful feeling every now and then? I walked out of this place the other night and I heard some people from our church complaining. Don't even get me started on that. But as I walked down through the field and I was greeting different people, and they said, "Tell your folks thanks. Tell your church thanks. Tell your church thank you for doing this." And I heard one right after another. And I thought, you know, it's good to hear thanks. We live in a world people don't say thank you much. Can I ask you one or two questions? Has God done great things for you? Can you think of any reason to thank Him tonight?